website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion each and every day as we face the issues. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I see what is happening on the global stage today, where we witness our president making a whirlwind trip through the Middle East. And it's not just the trip. It's some of the things that he will be saying and doing that mirrors very much of what we see in the last of the last days in what I simply call witnessing eschatological chessboard put in place. We're watching God's eschatological prophetic chessboard with the chessmen, the pieces, the parts of the chessboard being put together. Now, we're going to talk about that today. I think it's vital that we understand the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church. That could happen at any moment. There are no signs. There's nothing else to be fulfilled according to Scripture before the rapture of the church could take place. It could happen at any moment. That's the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away of the bride of Christ. That's all Christians being snatched out of this old world. Immediately as that takes place, the man of sin, the Antichrist, the one that the Bible calls the lawless one, the Antichrist will step on the scene. Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. We see that taking place in the last of the last days after the rapture of the church. The Christian, the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will not go through the days of the tribulation. The tribulation is a time of pressure, pain, problem, difficulty. It's the 7 years when God pours his wrath, that's his white-hot anger, out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society in the world. God's wrath has already been mitigated on the cross for every Christian through the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, there's no Christian taking place, no Christian in the world after the rapture of the church that's being left behind. There will be those that get saved during the days of the tribulation. 144,000 male Jewish evangelists will be preaching the everlasting gospel where millions will get saved, primarily focused on the Jewish people to receive Christ as Savior. According to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8 to 9, 10, 11, we will find in that era when multitudes of the Jewish people having been saved will enter into the days of the millennial reign with the church age saints serving with the Lord Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, during the days of the tribulation, major, massive, catastrophic events will take place. And during that time, ladies and gentlemen, we could see it starting today. We could see before the rapture of the church where the war with Russia, which it is called in Ezekiel 38 and 39, will take place. And the war with Russia includes Russia leading five nations, Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria, to come against the little nation of Israel. And the Bible is very clear in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. It is, and I could read further. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing President Trump on a whirlwind tour through the Middle East. And there's some very significant things that's taking place now and shall be taking place over the next several days as he makes that whirlwind tour that I think should be significantly understood from a biblical perspective about what is taking place and how I believe this plays into the last of the last days and God's eschatological chessboard, as we're calling it today. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's God's truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. John 17, 17 says, Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117, verse 2 says, The truth of the Lord endures forever. We live in an era when truth is demeaned, dissed, rejected, and in many ways an attempt to bifurcate. You can't take a half-truth and get truth. In fact, it's the secularist George Orwell that says, the further a society drifts from the truth, more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we find that today. The Democrats hate anything that's said that is truth. The Socialist Marxist Communist Party and the Marxist media mitigate against anything that's called truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what he's saying, if you want me to put it in succinct narrative, as we stray away from the Word, as we get away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as apostasy continues to explode around the world, we find that we're losing the truth, and that is the truth book. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In fact, we live in an era today when, based on the latest survey, points out that most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, the article reads this way. 55% of Americans, the 18 to 35-year-old age group known as the millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. You can't bifurcate truth and get truth. If you add to truth, it's not truth. If you take away from truth, it's not truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. We need to love the truth, search for it, live it, love it, tell it, stand on it, and be willing, ladies and gentlemen, to defend the truth even to death. That's a pretty difficult task. And I pray that as you listen, you understand the need for us to get back to truth, whether it's in the social realm, whether it's in the political area, or spiritual. We need to stand on truth. Regardless of what others say or do, we may have to stand alone. We may have to stand and face the enemies that's in the world today. But it's always my challenge that we stand on truth, stand for truth, live it, love it, learn it, tell it, and be willing to defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. includes for Time Cares the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Listen, there's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, base the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few more moments of monologue. We'll open our telephone lines and invite you to dial in. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion of the issue that we're speaking on today. We're witnessing the eschatological chessboard being put in place. What's the Trump mission going to accomplish? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, he's visiting in Saudi Arabia? Why is it that President Trump then will go to Qatar? Why is it that after that visit, ladies and gentlemen, that President Trump is going to go to Turkey, Istanbul in Turkey, and he's going to be there face-to-face with Putin and Zelensky from the Ukraine to talk about peace in Russia? My question is, and I'm asking this in advance to where we're going in the broadcast today, how does Turkey play into the picture? Why is it that Turkey is the place to meet to talk about settling the war in Ukraine, where Russia is invading or has invaded Ukraine? Ladies and gentlemen, throughout centuries of biblical eschatological preaching and teaching and searching for the coming, turn of events, the coming together of the biblical text pointing to the last of the last days, multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, have looked at times and places and events. But listen, I don't believe there's ever been a better era for biblical studies and for biblical truth and for the revelation of what God is saying and doing in the eschatological text than right now, today. I believe that today, those living today, we have a better opportunity to see the hand of God and what God is saying in the biblical text than all of the centuries past with all the theologians, all the pastors, preachers, teachers, and Bible scholars and Bible students. I believe we are in an enviable position today to see what God is doing and where he's going. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 12, going back to that verse 3, and in that day, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And he goes on to talk about what will happen in that day. Anytime you see the day of the Lord and in that day, it is talking about that time from the rapture of the church to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the term that is used in that day, and in that day, it's speaking of that eschatological period of time after the rapture of the church. Immediately following that, what God is going to be doing. But ladies and gentlemen, we know that Israel today is in a position that is the envy of the world. It is the place where nations around the globe have been attempting to go in and dominate and ultimately destroy. We know that according to the reality of what's happening in the world, which is validatable through the scripture, that all of the nations around the world somehow, some way, feel that little Israel ought to be wiped off the map. In America, we've been seeing in the past couple of years major demonstrations by the so-called Palestinians and those that are advocates for the Palestinians that say that from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. That mantra is saying, let's wipe out the nation of Israel. We have those enemies of the nation of Israel and the enemies of God that's permeating society in America today. Most of the media today are in the position that they agree with the ones that are the, I call them the jihadists, that's wanting to destroy the nation of Israel. Part of the problems we find in the political arena today, part of the problems that we find with the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party, found in the realm of claiming that somehow, some way, Israel is the enemy and Israel is the cause of the displacement of the so-called Palestinians. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such ethnic group as Palestinians. They call themselves that. They're simply what I call the Islamic jihadist, the Arab community. If there's a need for a settlement place, a home for the so-called Palestinians, why is it that all of the other nations that are of the same background, why is it they will not assimilate them in and bring them in as part of their nation? Why is it that somehow, some way, they must be the invaders going into Israel and taking over there? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we see what is happening with President Trump's trip. In part, this is not the totality of it. But we also know, ladies and gentlemen, that Russia and Turkey, Germany, Iran, Syria, and Libya will be in the invasion of Israel, according to Ezekiel 38:39. The amazing thing is, for our generation, to be living witnesses as to the prophetic events that's beginning to unfold before our lives today, live on television, broadcast around the world, with President Trump's travel. We've all marveled at how Iran has come into the focus. Listen, we'll talk about that throughout this broadcast. Trump's primary goal is financial investments in America. That's the icing on the cake. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Iran is the one that is hated by and hate toward Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is concerned about Iran getting the nuclear weapon. Their position is, and I've got document after document after document before me that I've reviewed, researched, Iran is on the fast track for getting the nuclear device if they do not, in fact, already have it. I personally believe they already have nuclear fissile material that's already been encapsulated and can be used as a nuclear device. They're waiting until they can get some type of intercontinental ballistic missile to be able to have it as the transportation, the delivery system for their nuclear weapons. They're claiming they do not. Just recently, it was discovered by Mossad out of Israel and by the intelligence apparatus in America that there are major, and I say again, major installations in Iran that we know they're producing nuclear material, getting ready to be able to dominate the world. And one of the things that President Trump has said, it always been his position, contrary to Joe Biden, that we will not allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. That's the goal. Listen, that's the goal and the mindset and the intent in Saudi Arabia. So though Trump is going to be talking about financial investments in America, in fact, the Crown Prince has already signed a document. It's not been, I've not heard it read on the air, but supposedly it will encapsulate a statement that they're going to invest $1 trillion in America. That's their commitment. That's the icing on the cake for Trump. But listen, according to the documents that I've read, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, with President Trump and his entourage, he's taken pretty much most of his cabinet with him. They're discussing how to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear device. In fact, Saudi Arabia has already said to President Trump, if they get one, we want one. We'll be watching the nuclearization of the globe if we allow that to take place. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that today. What do you see in President Trump's trip? What are you looking at beyond just the financial investments he's talking about? What is it that the Bible says that should cause us to recognize what God is doing in these preliminary trips with President Donald J. Trump? President Trump, in his first administration, set up the Abraham Accord. And during that period of time, Saudi Arabia was invited to join the Abrahamic Accord, and they dropped off in doing that and stopped and ceased and started to ponder it after the attack by the Islamic jihadist against Iran, against Israel in October 2023. We've been witnessing that on hold, but I believe right now it's back on the fast track with Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince, and their discussions with President Trump. It is my most humble opinion that either in this trip or future trips to tie up the loose ends, that Saudi Arabia will become part of the Abrahamic Accord. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, sir. President Trump, I've been behind him 100%, but everywhere he's going, hopefully, I was wishing that he would have Benjamin Netanyahu with him, because these people are enemies of Israel and enemies of the United States. And I wish he would have had Benjamin Netanyahu come over there with him.
You one of the things that, if I can jump in and tie a little loose end up and a footnote to that, the Communist Network News and much of the socialist Marxist media have picked up on the fact that BB is not with him, and saying that there's a rift, there's a division between Trump and BB. That is simply not so. Bibi Netanyahu did not have to be with them, with Trump on this trip. You can bet your boots that everything that Trump is now doing, Benjamin Netanyahu's already been informed and walked through what the intents are, where they're going, who they're going to be meeting, and what he hopes to accomplish. Benjamin Netanyahu is fully engaged, whether he's present or not, he's fully engaged with what Trump is doing. And listen, Saudi Arabia is the key that we're looking at. Saudi Arabia today is what we look at and understand is in a position financially and with their dominance to be able to have control in much of the Middle East. President Trump is there to get the dotted line signed on the trillions of dollars of investment, but also in this, in Saudi Arabia is one of the keys that President Trump will use to negotiate with them to put pressure on Iran to prevent Iran from getting the nuclear weapons. So it didn't take Benjamin Netanyahu being with him. I understand what you're saying, and some of that's been promulgated, postulated, and pushed by the Marxist media that somehow, some way, there's a rift between Trump and Bibi. That is simply not so at all. Go ahead with your thought.
Okay. I don't believe it's a rift, but dealing with Hamas, when we got our citizen back, that was a good thing. But Hamas want to use it for, hey, okay, stop bombing. Look, we brought some of your people back. And it will give them a chance to rearm and go after Israel. Should I say it like that?
Yeah. If Biden had remained in office, listen, the most recent American that we've had released out of hostage from the Hamas tunnels, he would have never come back had Biden still been in office. They still understand, yes, either 55 or 58 hostages that supposedly are being held in the tunnels in Gaza. I believe personally that there's not another person that's alive as a hostage. I believe all, and this is right, sad news for the families that have been looking, waiting, and praying that somehow their family members will be released. But I believe they're all deceased. This is the reason Hamas has been dragging their feet. This is the reason Hamas has been holding out the carrot that if you do this, do that, do the other, we'll release one, release another. That's simply not going to happen. That's been an excuse. And one of the things that we see taking place with Trump's trip, whirlwind trip, may I say, through the Middle East, is part and parcel of talking about the control of Gaza. Who will control it? There's a push by the Saudi Crown Prince for a two-state solution where Israel will be divided into a Palestinian state and a Jewish state. That's one of the things that the Saudis are wanting to happen. And I'll talk about that further in the broadcast. That should not happen, shall not happen, and I don't believe will happen with President Trump's negotiations. But keep in mind, yeah, that's the desired goal of the enemy.
Yes, sir. And if the Lord said, we'll be trying to divide this land, that he gave them, they're going to be cursed. I think it's in
One of the things that we find is that there has been an approach for centuries with the different powers, the different, how would you say, domination of Israel, the Jewish people. There's been an approach to divide it. There's been an approach to destroy it. There's been an approach throughout all of the centuries to somehow, some way, minusculize the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is nothing but a little sliver, postage stamp of real estate. It is a very, 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 very small piece of real estate, but yet the focus of the world is on Jerusalem as the controlling interest in that little postage stamp. We have to ask the question, why? When you look at Revelation chapter 12, we find the answer. And it's because the Lord Jesus Christ was birthed in Israel, and Satan hates Israel. As a result of that, all of the enemies are coming against Israel, because that's the promulgation and the push by Satan and all of the demons to destroy the Jewish people. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer. It deserves our focus and interest. I am vitally interested in seeing what is happening on a global stage. Kenneth, as you've heard me say so many times, when we see things happen locally, nationwide, statewide, globally, or internationally, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God, asking the question, what is God doing? What is God saying? Where is God going? What is this pointing to biblically? I believe we need to be alive and alert and well, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America, as we witness this journey by President Donald J. Trump. I believe it is significant theologically, doctrinally, eschatologically. It's the reason I'm saying today we're witnessing the eschatological chessboard as the chessmen are being put in place. And we'll go further into detail on that. But Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're witnessing the eschatological chessboard being put in place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. What are Iran's nuclear missile capabilities? I'm reading just a brief portion of it. Many foreign policy experts warn that if Iran were to acquire nuclear weapons, it would be broadly destabilizing in the Middle East and nearby regions. A first order of concern is that Iran's possession of nuclear weapons would pose a major, major threat, perhaps existential threat to Israel, its longtime foe. Other foreign policy experts say Iran would be assuring its own demise if it were to launch a nuclear strike on Israel, a close U.S. defense partner and professor of its own nuclear weapons arsenal, which is undeclared. Either way, there would be a dangerous potential of miscalculation that could result in nuclear exchange, analysts say. And an additional concern is that Iran's possession of a nuclear weapon could spur other regional rivals, including Saudi Arabia, to pursue nuclear weapon program. And that's one of the very things that the Saudi King, Crown Prince, is talking with President Trump about as we speak. They're saying, if I could put it in the young blood vernacular, if the world allows Iran to become a nuclear power, then Saudi Arabia is saying, we want one too. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what God is saying and what God is doing. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Isn't it an exciting time to be a believer and to see these things coming to pass before our very eyes? I'll tell you what, for the person that doesn't know the Lord, these have to be fearful days. These have to be days of concern, days of woe, just not knowing what's coming next. But for the believer, you're looking at the Word and you're going, look at it. There's the Scripture coming alive before our very eyes.
Greg, you're exactly right, and I don't know if you have time or not, but if you have time to hang on about 2 minutes, we'll be right back right after the news. I'd love to pick your brain on some of the things that I see in this venture, this journey for Donald Trump. So if you can, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, W